KCSB reporter Amarika Raffanelli spoke with Anya Foxen, who earned her PhD in religious studies from UCSB, about the practice of yoga. Anya investigates the cultural and economic factors that explain the manifestation of yoga within the United States. This is part one of the interview.
So you recently came to UC Santa Barbara and gave a talk on the intersectionality of spiritual practices between white women and South Asian men. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so this actually grew out of my last project, which was my dissertation research at UCSB. And then which I revised, and it's actually coming out in book form this summer from Oxford University Press, called Autobiography of a Yogi. And there I focused on almost more figuratively the figure of the yogi, who would have been prototypically a South Asian man, right? The gendering was almost implicit there, because my point of focus was more on beliefs that Americans would have had when they first encountered these figures, based on literature that they would have seen, based on various other visual media that they would have seen. And so where I've now taken this research, having sort of wrapped up the book and looking forward to my next project, is given the fact that when these men came over, when they launched their lecture tours and their organizations, the majority of their audiences, the majority of their followers were women, and particularly white women, what is the relationship, right, between these two groups, especially given that the white women that filled these audiences and supported these organizations really went on to be the carriers of yoga, right, both as a sort of an ideology and as a physical discipline in America. So I'm still sort of working out where exactly I want to go with this, but in my work from here on out, what I'm trying to focus on is foregrounding this kind of point of transition that I think inevitably will have to deal with issues of race, of gender, also possibly of the economic status of these white women that came to take on yoga as their spiritual discipline.
Yeah, I guess I would like to ask about why white women, you know, why not African-American women, and why women?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great question. So the caveat to this, right, and I think it would only really be so much different if I were looking at it in the modern period, right, so today. But the one kind of specification is that I am looking at this at the turn of the century, right, so almost 100 years ago now. And so the racial configuration would have been different in terms of what religious communities looked like, who had the sort of the luxury of being eccentric, right, given that yoga is counterculture still at this point. You almost had to have a certain level of social privilege to really be able to engage in this. Now, yoga communities, if we can even call them that, have remained, in my experience, mostly white. Although it's notable that when we have yoga organizations today, like Yoga Journal, like the Yoga Alliance, doing their demographic studies, yes, their demographics show that practitioners of yoga in the U.S. are something like 82.5% female, but they very, very specifically ignore race, despite the fact that they have this kind of panoply of demographic data that they're sorting through. So even though there's not official numbers out there, even today we can say that the demographics are mostly white, and they're certainly mostly female because we do have those numbers. And this would have been largely the same at the turn of the century, which is the period that I'm looking at. I think part of this does have to do with economic status, which certainly would have been even more dire when you're looking at the discrepancies between, let's say, white women and black women, right, say in the 1920s. But I think it also has a bit to do with the content that's being marketed by these yogis as yoga spirituality, right, which is its own kind of very fuzzy category at that time. it's being marketed in ways that particularly, I think, appeal to the kind of marginal, right, because they're women, but still privileged position that white women hold. Meaning, again, they have the resources. Often these are not even middle class, but upper middle class and upper class white women that have the resources, have the time on their hands. And again, have that, as Andrea Jane recently put it in her book that came out a couple of years ago, Selling Yoga, they have that luxury of being eccentric, right? They can kind of stray from the mainstream Protestant Christian path and explore spiritualities that, for whatever reason, they find more empowering, right? Because they go kind of counter to this mainstream culture that at the time is really still highlighting this cult of domesticity, right? Telling women to be pure, telling women to be domestic, telling women to be selfless. And yoga, I think, offers something that goes not only beyond, but even counter to that during this early time period.
So you said that the practice of yoga was an eccentric luxury for white women.
Mm-hmm.
So is yoga, in its conception in South Asia, is it an eccentric luxury, or is yoga as a practice integral to the spirituality of South Asia?
Right. You know, I think that the answer to that question would be very different today than it would have been as yoga is being exported out of India and into Europe, into America, again, at that turn of the century time period. Certainly, you very much have this notion, and we see this in Swami Vivekananda, right, who is one of the first yogis, swamis, to come and to really become this public figure in the U.S. in the 1890s, that yes, yoga is somehow integral, not only to South Asian religion, right, as this very vague category, but to Hinduism particularly. And certainly you see that idea being really foregrounded today, right? So Narendra Modi, the Prime Minister of India, recently inaugurated International Yoga Day, which it really highlights, I think, this way in which yoga is being portrayed as India's gift to the world, right? And so it's not as though we somehow don't want yoga to be spread, but there's this push for acknowledgement, not only of yoga's Indian roots, but of yoga's Hindu roots that is popular among various factions at the moment. Now, if we rewind 100 years, I think that picture actually looks a little bit different. And certainly the further back we go in time, the more ambiguous it really becomes what yoga is.
That was KCSB reporter Amarika Raffanelli speaking with Anya Foxen about the cultural complexities explaining the emergence of yoga within the United States, Part 1.